Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's episode 157. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, everywhere. 5 stars, subscribe. You know the deal. Check us out on YouTube. We are on the Play Tessie channel. We're on the WEEI channel. Play Tessie playlist there has all of our episodes. Hit the thumbs up there. Subscribe to WEEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, it's Gordo here, and we have the single biggest Juan Soto update as it pertains to the Red Sox since they initially got the meeting. It's a big update, and basically, and we have other things to get to Juan Soto-wise, but I think we have to just get right into this, and this development just has me buzzing because this thing is really coming to fruition. It's coming to fruition soon. And it's basically the Red Sox have basically request a meeting in which Scott Boras and Juan Soto would sit down with them and present a price where if the Red Sox met that price, Juan Soto would agree and sign with the Red Sox. So that meeting has not been granted. We don't know if the meeting's been granted, but the fact that that meeting has been requested at all is a big development because it signals that the Red Sox feel that they are in it in the end game and they want to close it in the end game.
Yeah. I don't want to come in here and just dump cold water on this. I do think it's important. It's nice to kind of be reassured as a fan that the Red Sox are still in this thing. They're not out of it yet. I don't think any of us thought they'd get this far, but I have to think, at some point, like when you're dealing with a free agent like Juan Soto, a top of the heap kind of guy, wouldn't every GM ask for this final meeting? I feel like it doesn't go beyond anything other than, yeah, they're still in it. They want to ask for this final meeting. I feel like the Yankees and the Mets and technically the Blue Jays are also going to ask for this meeting. I think the important thing is whether or not they get it.
Absolutely. That is the most important thing. That said, I agree. Like I was talking to my Mets fan friend and he maybe five times a day asks me for my percentage of likelihood for Juan Soto going to all the teams. And I basically tell him every single time it's not changing. And I don't even want to go into percentages this episode because I feel like it's just such a crapshoot. But when I was talking to him about it, I said, yeah, my percentages on the likelihood that he's going to the Red Sox don't change here. That said, this shows that they feel that they are in it at the end. And I'll tell you, here's the one downside about it. And it's not necessarily a downside. It depends on how you look at it. To me, you only get this meeting with Juan Soto if he really wants to come to your team. Like, right. if one of the New York teams was his preferred destination, he's going to say no. And the reason I say it's a downside is because you have to ask yourself, how are the Red Sox going to convince Scott Boras to accept a meeting in which potentially he wouldn't be able to take a contract back to the Mets or Yankees? Why would Scott Boras and Juan Soto ever agree to that? And this is just me guessing here because this wasn't in the Alex Speer article, but my guess here is that the Red Sox are offering this meeting and are going to bow out if they say no. And this would be how the Red Sox guarantee that their offer isn't taken to Steve Cohen to up by $50 million or so the rumor has it, which it feels like they're afraid of that. And
so Gordo, hold on. I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. So you think that the Red Sox, so if they don't get this meeting, you think they bow out is what you're saying, correct?
Yes. And
because they have no other choice. That would essentially be Soto saying no thanks. If they don't get this meeting, that's Boras saying like, nah, it's not happening. Because like if the Red Sox were willing to outbid Yankees or Mets, then of course Boras is going to let them take this meeting. Let Soto take this meeting with the Red Sox. So like if they don't get the meeting, it's over.
Okay, hold on, Pat. We're going to get to you. But just to clarify where I'm coming from here. If the Red Sox don't ask for this meeting and they truly think that Juan Soto is going to just and Scott Boras are going to take this to the Mets and to the Yankee or to the Mets to up by 50, like this is the only way you can get yourself a chance to secure a deal in which the Mets don't up it. And the only reason that Juan Soto would accept that meeting and Scott Boras would accept that meeting is if Boston is where he wants to end up. And this is the only way you're going to get that final offer. If I'm the Red Sox and I'm extending the offer to have this meeting, it's take the meeting and we'll get a deal done. But we're not going to just give you offers to have Steve Cohen beat us by 50 mil. So if you're not going to take the meeting and you're not going to give us a chance to finalize something, you're not going to get an offer to have Steve Cohen beat by 50 mil.
Isn't that kind of like saying like if you're dating someone, you know they're going to break up with you. Isn't that kind of just being like, no, I break up with you first because
not necessarily. It's kind of like giving an ultimatum. It's like giving an ultimatum. It's like, yeah,
what's the point of an ultimatum though? How does that benefit the Red Sox whatsoever? I don't think they care about what Steve Cohen's doing. If they're willing to up the price, then they're willing to up the price. The way I see it is either they get this meeting and they get a chance to give a final offer, or he's not coming here. Juan Soto's not coming to Boston.
No, that is it. I'm just saying that the Red Sox need to find a way to have Juan Soto lock a deal in without going back to Steve Cohen because they know Steve Cohen's going to outbid him whatever they offer. If Juan Soto wants just top dollar no matter what, he's not going to take this meeting. If Juan Soto wants New York more than Boston, he's not going to take this meeting. Pat, I got to get you involved here. Give me a response to what we've been saying. How do you feel about my theory?
I think it's kind of a hybrid. So I think what happens is John Henry goes, I want a meeting, me, Scott, Juan, to hammer this out, you name your number, whatever. There's two ways. Either Scott is going to say, no, we want, you know, fair bargaining. We'll take a meeting with you just like everybody else. We're not guaranteeing a signing if you say our number, blah, blah, blah. Or he says, that could work. Yeah, let's do that. And they do it. At that point, Gordo, here's where I think I'm with you, and here's my ultimatum. If Juan Soto says my number is $680 million and John Henry slides that across the table and they go, we'll sit on it, you pull that offer the second you walk out the door. That will be the ultimatum. I don't think they're dropping out if they don't get that meeting.
Agreed.
But why?
The problem here is they think that with any offer they get, Steve Cohen is just going to beat it by $50 million. So you have to create a situation where you're only getting our offer if you're actually considering taking it. Does that make sense?
I just don't get the alternative. I feel like they have to, like, no matter what, Steve Cohen's just going to try to bump that number up by, what is it, 50 million?
Not if he doesn't get the chance.
So here's where I think I misunderstood what you guys are saying. You guys think that there's a chance that this could be it. Like, they walk in, they say, hey, Juan.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Or as Pat properly says it, Juan.
He does.
I appreciate that, Pat. You're very good at that. You think they're going to walk in there, be like, here's our offer, take it, or we're gone.
Other way around. It's they're going to walk in there, they're going to say, Juan, what is your number? He's going to give a number with the expectation, and the Red Sox are going to have the expectation that if they say yes, we will meet that number, it's over. Okay. That's the point of the meeting.
I get that. So if you believe that, and I'm kind of on the fence, if you believe that, would that not mean that you also believe the Red Sox are completely in the driver's seat? Because that would make it sound like they control their own destiny, and I'm not sure I'm there yet.
It depends. Because Soto could go into this meeting and say, my number's 900 million. If you want to sign me without having Cohen match, give me 900. And then at that point, it's back sort of to where you are. But I do think that getting the meeting at all shows, and by the way, like Andy Martino was saying this on Foul Territory today, and I fully believe it. If you're still in the running right now, he can visualize himself with your team. He's considering coming to your team. But if he gives you that meeting, then he really, like, he's down to come for the, like he's, if he gives you that meeting with the expectation that if you say yes to his number, he's signed, like, he's going into that meeting thinking that there's a chance that this is going to be over after the meeting.
You mean like they like put pen to paper, like, or at least verbally agree on it in the meeting?
Shake the hands.
Man, that would, you know, I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here. If you wanted to hear what I, like, my big thought on this, what I actually think is happening, I think they're just kind of doing, like, their due diligence, being like, can we get one more meeting? We want to, like, up this offer one more time if we need to. And I'm sure the Yankees and Mets are doing it, too.
The only difference here is that it was already established that all teams had one more meeting this weekend. The difference now is John is not like, oh, it's going to be nice to meet you. It is name your price and we're fucking doing it.
Not that necessarily, Pat. Now.
Yes,
not true. Necessarily.
That's what he is. That's what asking you hope. For. Yes,
this is great. But thank you so much, Alex Spear, for dropping this nugget right before we record, because this could mean so many different things. It could mean so what you guys things. Just said, where it's like, this is it, take it or leave it. It could mean absolutely nothing, which is not where I'm at, but I'm kind of leaning towards the side of, like, of course they would ask for a final meeting. I'm sure every team is. It could mean a lot of different things. It's exciting. I can't believe the Red Sox are here. I keep kind of having those moments where I'm like, are they really, maybe, possibly going to sign Juan Soto? I don't want to get too hurt. I'm already at the point where I'm going to get hurt if he goes to one of the New York teams or Toronto, LOL. But, man, I can't believe they're in this shit.
I love that we get to record at this stage because, I mean, let's face it, man. Like, barring emergency podcasts, there is a good shot that by the time we next record on Sunday night, talks are either heating up or they're done. Like, we're getting in on this at such a mystery point with this nugget that Alex Spear dropped, because you just heard it from me. You just heard it from Pat. Two incredibly different theories as to how this could play out. With my belief being that if they were, and like, obviously this, again, this is not like sourced information or anything. This is just a theory I'm having, that because I truly cannot think of a reason why Scott Boras and Juan Soto would accept this meeting without the possibility of the Red Sox dropping out if they don't get it. And you've got Pat saying that the Red Sox are going, and I honestly agree with this too, actually, is that the Red Sox are going to need to go into that meeting thinking that if they meet the number that he says, then it's a done deal. And if it's not going to be a done deal, then we're walking away. Like, you got to play hardball to make sure that he doesn't play games with you and take you back to Steve Cohen.
The only thing I would push back on is I don't see what benefit the Red Sox would have by saying, like, here's our offer. If you're not taking it, we're done here. Because what if Soto's like, I want to think about it. Give me some time. And then it's like, you just took the offer off the table. And I also don't think the Red Sox care about Steve Cohen bumping the number up. Like, if they're already in that let's call it 660 or 650 for the sake of a nice clean number. If they're at 650 and they're not willing to go any higher than that, they don't care if Steve Cohen goes up to 700. They're not going any higher than that. They're like, we're done. That's it. So I don't think they pull it off.
Here's why it matters.
A more gentle version of what Pat said, if that makes sense. Like this is our final offer, but like call Sammy, us later.
The reason it matters is because if 650 is your final offer, if you allow him to take it back to Steve Cohen, Steve Cohen's going to up it. If you tell him he has to, and granted, I don't think 650 gets it done. So like, let's use 725 as an example, because 725 is a number that conceivably some people like wouldn't top. Pat's eyes just freaking.
We heard 800 today. We heard people floating 800 today. I think that's a little nuts, but okay. In this scenario, Red Sox offer 725. They're in the meeting with Juan Soto.
And they are of the impression, because if you read Alex Speer's article, it really does sound like the Red Sox are spooked by this whole Steve Cohen's going to outbid anyone by 50 mil. So if you're the Red Sox, you offer 725. I don't think Steve Cohen would tell Scott Boras that he's going to outbid anyone by 50 mil, because then Scott Boras is going to take 800, even if it's not on the table. He's going to take that to you and say, give me 850. So if you're the Red Sox and you offer 725, you don't want him leaving that room and taking it to Steve Cohen.
Wouldn't that just never happen, though? If Boras knows Steve Cohen's going to bump it by 50 million, he's just going to go, hey, Boston offered 775 or 725. You have to bump it to 775.
Well, hold on. Pat,
you got to get him to accept the room.
Yes. If you get him in the room, you're under the impression that if he accepts that, he's yours. If you're not going to get him in the room, if you're unable to get him in the room, it means that he either wants New York or thinks that the Mets and Yankees will offer more money and he wants to go to the most money.
He's out. If you don't get the meeting, he's out. Okay. So that's the part where I think is a little bit unrealistic. And I've never been in a negotiation room like this, so I could be wrong. The part that I think is a bit unrealistic is thinking that he would accept verbally that offer then and there
It only works if he likes Boston the best and doesn't want them to drop out because he wants to play there the most.
Yeah, Red Sox would really have to be in the driver's seat.
If Juan Soto likes the other places more than the Red Sox, he's not coming to Boston anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
I also think, so two things. One, I think that the predetermined notion that Steve Cohen is going to blow every team out by $50 million, I just don't believe that. Because if we know that, obviously, Scott Boras knows that, and it's a blind bidding. They're not communicating what offers are to other teams. So if the last day comes, and let's say the Yankees have 675 on the table, Boras is going to go to Steve Cohen and say, we have 7 on the table from the Yankees, because he knows that Scott would supposedly up that by 50. That is so stupid to overplay your hand like that I just do not believe it. And Steve Cohen is too smart and too rich and too good financially to just float that out there as a layup for Boras to dunk on him. There's no way. The other thing, if the way that the article is written, and again, this is all kind of hearsay, like you read it one way, I read it the other. The way that I read it is John is literally going in, what is the number that gets you to sign here? Juan says it. If that number is met, to me, how I interpreted it, they are, okay, if we meet that, we have Juan Soto.
It's done. That would be the way I interpret it is that is the point of the meeting, is how can we possibly get a deal done if any number we offer, he's just going to take it to Steve Cohen. The only way it works is if Juan Soto wants to be in Boston and is trying to maximize the offer that Boston gives. And guess what? If he rejects this meeting and says, I want to be able to hear these other teams out, then he just doesn't want to be in Boston enough. And if he doesn't want to be in Boston enough, the Red Sox aren't going to have that highest bid going against Steve Cohen. And to be honest with you, going against the Blue Jays, they're not going to outbid both of those teams. The only way the Red Sox are getting this guy is if he wants to be in Boston and maximize that number. This is how you make sure you put yourself in a situation where you can give him a number that he will take from you and he has to accept it. And you obviously know that if he takes that meeting, he wants to be on your team.
Yeah. So, okay. So we do agree on a few things. One, if the Red Sox don't get this meeting, it's pretty much over. No shot. And then two, if Soto does take this meeting and it ends, well, this one's hard to frame because I don't know if we completely agree on this. If Soto does take this meeting, we want the Red Sox to be like, final offer, take it or leave it kind of thing. But even I'm not 100% sure I'd want the leave it part. I'd give this guy $725 million and sleep like a baby, but it's not my money. So
it depends.
It's tough, man. It could mean anything. And that's what I was ranting about on Twitter today, saying like, look, that's the great thing about these rumors. You could twist your brain to make them mean whatever the hell you want them to mean. You could say, oh, the Red Sox asking for this meeting means that they're in it. They're in the driver's seat. They're going to sign him. Or you could just say means nothing. Everyone would do this. Why wouldn't they? So it's great. Freedom of mind.
Let me give you two scenarios, because there was the scenario Pat gave, and there was a scenario that I gave. And there's two. If he takes the meeting, there's two ways it could go to me. Mm-hmm. One is he goes into the meeting and gives a number, and the Red Sox are willing to meet the number, or maybe they negotiate a little bit and they meet in the middle and they agree.
Yep.
Scenario one is they agree and there's a signed contract. Scenario two is they come to a number, like Soto offers a number, Boris offers a number, the Red Sox agree, and they do what Pat said and say, well, we want to sleep on it. To me, that's a no-go. You don't let that happen. And if he wants to sleep on it, like you're taking that offer off the table right there.
What if you have to?
You got to play hardball, Sammy. You got to play hardball.
But then you run the risk of him being like, okay, bye. What if he plays hardball back? Then you're walking away from Juan Soto?
That's the risk you got to take. You got to be genuine. Otherwise, if you're not being genuine with this meeting, he's going to walk away regardless and go to Steve Cohen. Option three, where I wouldn't walk away, is if he walks into the meeting, says, I want $850 and I'll sign. And John Henry says, I'll give you $725. There's no fucking way you're getting $850. And so they don't agree on a number. I don't think you need to walk away from him if you don't agree on a number. I'm just saying if he grants you the meeting and presents to you the number and you meet it and he says he's not signing right then and there, I think you walk away.
Ooh, I mean, I wouldn't walk away. There's always the off chance he comes back and goes like, you know what? The Mets offered me a little bit more, but I don't want to
walk away. You quote unquote walk away. Like if he comes back later and says, okay, final sign, obviously so
like,
you're going to say yes.
So like walk away, but you're still like peeking through the door. Like, are they talking about us?
Make him fear. Did you guys see that clip of Ken Rosenthal during the World Series in 07 talking about how Brian Cashman said that if A-Rod opted out of that contract after 07, they were not going to negotiate with him because they had money coming from the Rangers that was contingent on him opting in.
Mm.
So A-Rod opted out, and therefore that was supposed to mean that Cashman and the Yankees weren't going to negotiate. But oh, wouldn't you know it, he ended up back in New York. That's how it could play out. But you gotta tell him to go fuck himself if he gives
scary,
you a number,
man.
You need it.
It's hard. These are high-level
negotiations.
It is hard to play hardball when you are not in the driver's seat. And I don't think any of us think the Red Sox are in the driver's seat. We acknowledge that there's a scenario where they could be, but if you're playing hardball and you're like the third most likely team to land this guy, I don't know if that's the move. But I'm really saying I don't know, because I don't have any idea. I really don't.
Two things. One, kind of off topic, but kind of on topic, because we're talking about Juan Soto. If I see one more Yankee fan act like Jack Curry is Jesus, I'm going to blow up Twitter.
Oh, Pat, come on. Jack Curry's really good. Curry's good.
He is. My point being, his word is not gospel. A, because he was like, oh, they're front runners for Yamamoto. Didn't happen. Don't know if you guys saw this today. He's reporting that he's going to get around 14 years, 43 a year. That is 602. That offer.
Wait, he said that?
Yes. Blown out of the water.
You know what's crazy, Pat? Is I agree. I don't know anything about Jack Curry, but I saw Mets fans too. Jack Curry goes, I have a gut feeling that he's going to go back to the Yankees. And then I saw Mets fans going like, doesn't it kind of sound like he's preparing to let Yankees fans down? I'm like, wait, what? He just said he thought they were going back. The Soto was going to go back. It's crazy, man. It means whatever you want it to mean.
My other thing is, I cannot for the life of me remember who it was. So if this is about you, I apologize in advance. There was someone today, like a legit, I'm not going to say his name. I remember who it is. Who was like, to me, the Yankees make the most sense because the scariest thing is going into a new situation, unsure of your future, blah, 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 my ass, blah, blah, blah. This kid is 26 years old. He's been on three teams. He is a future Hall of Famer. I do not think he is concerned about going into a new environment when he's getting paid $700 million and teams are literally handing over a blueprint like, here's how we're going to support you. We promise we'll take care of you. It's not like he's signing with the Sacramento Athletics.
Well, he's been traded twice. He's going
to good baseball team.
He's been traded twice.
He's been in the National League, the American League, the East Coast, and the West Coast. I don't think he's going to be bothered by going from New York to New York or by New York to Boston, which is like a train ride. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you guys about a couple. So first off, update on timeline. The idea here is he's going to, and this was Jeff Passan reported this, and I think it might have been disputed by someone, but to be honest with you, I definitely trust Jeff Passan over whoever's disputing it. He says that there's going to be meetings this weekend, and Soto's probably going to make his decision before the winter meetings. It seems like he's going to be in Dallas, and yeah, I think you can expect a decision maybe Sunday, maybe Monday. Those are the two likeliest dates. I wanted to get your guys' take, though, on something that came from Sean McAdam today, where, I want to make sure I get it right. John Henry has spoken to Juan Soto's reps several times, but has yet to speak with Juan Soto himself. How, like, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Do we care?
When was the last time John Henry spoke and something good happened?
I think that's fair. Part of me hangs on, and I forget who made, I think it was John Heyman, said that Juan Soto wants to have a good rapport with his owner. And that scares me a little bit, because obviously, I mean, and I think it would be the same with the Yankees. I really think the only place negotiating with him where you're going to definitely have a good rapport with your owner is the Mets. But
oh my God, wait. What if at this final meeting, they're all sitting at the table and the Red Sox are like, Juan, we got someone you want to meet. He's a minority owner of the team. LeBron James, come on in. And LeBron walks in his full shitty Lakers jersey. And he's like, Juan, I want you to sign with the Boston Red Sox. And boom, that's it right there. And then Juan Soto and LeBron James become best friends. And we still probably don't like LeBron, but that's fine. He helped the Red Sox get Juan Soto. Can you imagine?
I'm on board. It can be a trifecta between Soto, LeBron, and Theo, the owner or the two owners and the star player trio, best of friends.
John Henry's in the corner with his ice cream, like, good job, guys.
So for me personally, the John Henry thing, I think it's a huge thing that he's requesting this meeting, and he, as the one who is cutting those checks, is like, name your number. Baseball side of things. Not the business side, the baseball side. I think it is much more powerful if he met with Craig and Theo, because Theo can lay out the baseball side of things, because that was his big thing. He's asking about the farm system, the future of the team, the confidence they can win, like all this stuff. That standpoint, there's no two better guys to lay out the lay of the land than Theo and Craig right now. Craig knows the team. He is fully aware of what the plans are this offseason. Theo has built winners before. He can lay out that groundwork.
Well, Pat, you're going to need John Henry to, like, John Henry's going to have to meet this guy and speak to him before he invests that kind of money. No.
I fully get that. But for that first initial intro meeting, I think
Theo was there, was he?
I don't know. I'm hoping to God he was, because Theo, in that initial meeting, getting the baseball lay of the land, the meet and greet phase, Theo's perfect for that. Now that it's coming down to brass tacks and you're cutting checks, John Henry's the perfect time to come in here. I don't think it mattered that he was not in the first one. He needs to be there for this one.
Well, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at in this whole thing. You can't sell one. And like, I came around to this because I think I was initially pretty off put by the fact that John Henry wasn't at the initial meeting. But you can't sell a guy on an experience that's not going to be what he's signing up for. Like, you can't have John Henry out there pretending that he's going to be, you know, at Juan Soto's, you know, he's going to be by Juan Soto's side every step of the way for the next 15 years in Boston. It's just not going to be the way it is. So you gotta lay it out the way it's going to be. And, you know, if you play your cards right, if John Henry you know, comes in there and hits a fucking home run at this meeting and impresses the shit out of Juan Soto. It's like, goddamn, like, where the hell was this guy? This is great. Like, I already liked Boston. This is the guy at the top. Like, sign me the fuck up. More likely, though, I don't trust that John Henry's going to be able to do that. I don't know when the last, I don't know. He's closed his deals. He closed the PGA deal and stuff, but I don't know. Yeah, consider me skeptical that John Henry's going to go in there and hit a home run with Juan Soto and outside of presenting an amazing dollar figure, make him die to go to Fenway.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if John Henry's the face of the operation when it comes to the, you know, the actual talking to Juan Soto. I think you want Cora in there. And then everyone Pat mentioned, like, it's, people are going to get mad, and I'm not going to defend John Henry because he doesn't deserve to be defended right now. But I really don't think this is not the battle to pick with the Red Sox, is John Henry not being at a meeting. Like, if he goes, great. If not, who cares?
Well, it just depends on how important it is to Soto. Like, if Soto was off put that John Henry wasn't there, then it matters.
Sure.
If he wasn't, then it doesn't. Like, it really, and we don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he would skip out on it. I don't think they'd go this far if it meant that much to Soto and then Henry doesn't show up. It's just unrealistic to me. It's weird business.
I agree. And I don't know if you guys have any final thoughts on the Soto stuff before. I did want to get into a tweet that Pat had that I before this whole Soto thing, I was very much looking forward to getting into. But any last thoughts on Soto before we move on?
No, we got it. We got a quick percentage just for Soto. Come on.
I'm still at 11% for the Red Sox. If he accepts the meeting, it's going to go up, but until, like, just the fact that they asked for the meeting, it doesn't, like, it doesn't change anything for me yet.
Okay. Pat?
25.
Ooh.
Pat's going down. Pat's been going down.
No, I've been bouncing.
You said 35 at one point.
No, I said 30, I think, was my highest. 30 was my highest. Mm. And then it's been between 20 and 30. I think it's, hey, Gordo, I'm like, if he accepts that meeting, I'm not being sarcastic, I go up to like 60%.
I love when Pat makes grand declarations. It's so dramatic. I'm not kidding. Bang.
If he accepts that meeting, 60%. It's done deal.
All right. I will go up by 1% to 16% because I think it's good that they're asking for this meeting. Doesn't mean much. That's why it's only by 1%. So 16. This is my second highest I've been at. 20 was my peak.
To put a bow on it, them asking for this meeting, it means one of two things. It either means they think that there's a legitimate opening for them to close this deal, or it means that they think that this is like a last second desperation heave, and they think they're probably out of it anyway. So this is their desperation heave. And if he doesn't do it, they know they're just out of it. So it really does matter to see where this goes. We're hopefully going to know in the coming days. Consider me skeptical. We find out about the meeting tomorrow because this news has been coming in so slowly. But Pat, I want you to read off the tweet. Joe, I think you've got it in the back if you could bring it up. Pat, I want you to read off the tweet that you had about, I believe, this is a scenario if they don't get, yeah, pending no Soto. Okay, go for it, Pat.
So, this is before the spear, before I had a little optimism in me. Wasn't feeling all that great about Soto. So, I did some digging, kind of game planning. So the Red Sox are roughly $51 million under the tax right now. That is plenty of money to make substantial upgrades. So, I was like, what can you do with $51 million without blowing through the tax and kind of keep your options open for next year? If you swap Massa in, you know, middling prospects, maybe a Meideroff here, something like that, for Arenado. So supposedly someone told me this is a wash according to Red Sox payroll. Shout out Red Sox payroll. But for the sake of this, we'll call that, you know, $5 million adding. Corbin Burns, I think that is a very fair AAV. 32 over 7, it comes out to 220 something maybe. So you do that. You trade Crochet. I didn't even bother putting a package together because it's going to be young guys and prospects, no real money moving. So we'll call that a wash. And then you sign a guy like Kirby Yates. It could be an AJ Minter.
Blake Treinen.
Yeah, exactly. Just someone in that kind of upper middle echelon of back-end leverage guys. All of those moves still keep you under that first luxury tax, which means you are not paying the tax up until the deadline. If you need to make a move, then you can kind of go over the tax. Big picture wise, absolutely massive. If they can build a legit playoff team, be under the tax and have money to go big fish hunting in Flatty.
Yeah. See, that's you pique my interest here, because let's be honest, if the Red Sox don't get Juan Soto, the offense, their numbers are going to be good because they're playing at Fenway Park. But truthfully, the offense with what we had last year and the infusion of some rookies, but they're rookies. Like, we think they're going to be great, but at this stage, they're rookies. They could be good, but they can't be great. So how are you going to be a really good team pitching in defense? So how do you make your defense better? You bring in Nolan Arenado. How do you make your pitching better? You add two aces and a back-end reliever. And then next offseason, when we're saying, man, you know, the Red Sox really improved their defense this year. When they called up Teal and he was catching, they got better. When they took Devers off of third, they got better. When they had a consistent second baseman that's not Emmanuel Valdez half the time, they got better. When they had Costas a full season at first base, and then Jaron Duran and Sidon Rafael in the outfield every day, they got better defensively. Their pitching got better when we added two aces and had a deeper and better bullpen for the whole year. Wow. But the offense, it kind of stayed stagnant. How can we improve the offense? Well, there you go. You missed out on Juan Soto. They were willing to offer over $600 million for him, and that's just burning a hole in their pocket. There you go. Vlad Jr., who, by the way, Ken Rosenthal today, as we record, said he's probably gone after this coming year. Not to mention, he also liked that post with him and Soto photoshopped into Red Sox uniforms. Can't deny that and can't ignore it.
Sammy, before you go, I want to make a quick point here. If they do lose out on Soto, in my heart of hearts, I truly believe it is because the current roster in their past season's performance is simply not good enough to sway Juan away from New York. I don't think it's that he doesn't want to be in like Massachusetts. I think it's both of the other teams had better years, both have better current teams right now. I'm going to go there. That is why I think they would possibly lose out on Juan. In that scenario, you avoid that mistake. If you do all of this next year, you have a wild card or a playoff team. Vlad looks, oh, they have the best farm system in baseball. They have a legit locked up group of young core guys. They added Burns. They added Crochet. They have a great bullpen. Why
they're
wouldn't
just
I want
missing
to go
me?
There? Exactly. And that is what the biggest difference is.
They could also trade for Vlad at the deadline and big time overpay for him money wise and offer him like $450 million. Which is probably around what he'll get on the open market, maybe a little bit more.
Like, I keep reading 350 because he's a first baseman. If it's me, like, I'm giving him okay, if Soto gets 650, like, I don't see why Vlad is worth more than 150 mil less than Soto. So I'd pay through the roof for this guy.
Same. And the thing is, these contracts age fine. Like, look at Bryce Harper. What did he get? 300 something, and everyone was freaking out. Now it's like only $300 million. Who cares? And who was it?
Machado.
That
Machado
Yankees
got an extension out of it.
No. The Yankees owner, Bet David or whatever, the guy who had that stupid tweet asking like, "Is Juan Soto really worth $700 million?"
That he deleted.
He was saying we're 5 years away from a $1 billion player, and like, I kind of agree. So, in Pat's scenario, if they trade for Vlad, contingent on like, yo, Blue Jays, we'll do this trade, but we need Vlad to be like open to an extension, otherwise we're not doing it. And I don't even know if that's legal, if you can do that, if you could have that kind of conversation.
If the Blue Jays allow it, you can.
Yeah, the Blue Jays are okay with that, and I think they would be, unless they're really concerned about interdivision trading, which I don't think anyone really cares about anymore with the new schedule and shit in the playoff format. Then that would be one way to go with it. Otherwise, I like that team as is. I still think they win like 90 plus games, probably make the playoffs. And then next year, you're right back in free agency, ready to add even more.
Yeah, I really do think that if they miss out on Soto, obviously they should beef up the rotation. But I think that the second, if they do lose out on him, the second they do should be, all right, how can we put ourselves in the best position to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on this team? And with them clearly showing their hand that when a star player becomes available at a young age, it doesn't matter the fit. If he's a star and he's young, we're going to be in on him. Yeah, Red Sox are stocked with outfielders. They're stocked with left-handed hitters. And they are going to try everything they can to make it work for Juan Soto. I just don't see why it wouldn't be the exact same for Vlad.
So then I did the opposite, because I see a lot of people like, that's way too much money for one guy. What, you can't add anywhere else, all this, whatever. So I thought, let's see what it looks like. What does that look like? So let's say Juan signs for, I said 48.5 for an estimation, over, you know, 14 years, whatever, right around there. Next year, before adding Juan, with money coming off the books, Hendricks, Giolito, Chapman, Wilson, Ref, Snyder, Fulmer, those guys are off the books. They are $114 million below the first tax before arbitration and all that stuff.
Hold on a second. Back up for a second. You're saying if they only add Soto this offseason, that's where they would be next year.
Before Soto. Like, oh, going before into Soto. Next year.
Going into next year before Soto. Okay.
$114 million under the tax. The only guys on the entire team that are not on pre-arb or arbitration contracts, Devers, Story, Yoshida, Bayo, Rafaela, Whitlock. That is it. Everyone else, team-controlled, young guys, rookie deals. If you add Juan Soto to that mix, you're at $65.5 million under the tax. That is more than what they have right now.
But hold on. What would the holes be? So in this situation, they've lost Lucas Giolito. They've – who else?
Giolito, Chapman, and Hendricks. So rotation and two back-end starters.
Bullpen.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Two back-end bullpen and a rotation member.
I mean, are you about to suggest you can add Vlad to it?
No, I'm just saying that if you sign Soto, it's not like you're back in the bargain bin for these other pieces. You have plenty of wiggle room to add at least quality players to these holes that you'll have. It's not like if you sign Soto, you're never signing anybody for the next 14 years.
Agreed. You know what I just realized? The term back end is derogatory when you're talking about a starter, but it's a compliment when you're talking about a reliever.
It is.
Anyway, continue.
Well, no, to respond to that, Pat, and I know that that Randy Miller has been proven wrong on the Yankees thing, because it appears the Yankees have an offer over $600 million, and Randy Miller said they were going to top out at $550 million. But if you want to look at the rest of his report, when he did call the Red Sox at the time the favorites for Soto, he said that they promised him that they would add a couple other big money free agents to him. So to me, like, at the time I was thinking a starter in Tanner Scott. Now that with Aroldis Chapman in the mix, I'm not thinking Tanner Scott anymore. I'm thinking a starter and maybe two star. Maybe it's a sign a starter, trade for a starter. But yeah, they've got the money to do plenty beyond Soto because of how disciplined they've been spending wise the last few seasons.
And then, not to mention, if you're signing Soto, that $65 million, that is to the tax. If you sign Soto, you are very much committing to at least going over the tax at some point. So that 65 is just like on the lower end of what's available. They could easily blow past all of that and continue to just build a very, very, very good team.
And I think they would, because I don't think you're getting Soto without the belief from him that it's not stopping with you. Like, that's one of the things that the Mets can really offer that I don't know that everyone else can, because the Red Sox can promise it, but does it really resonate with Soto that you're going to spend beyond him when you haven't for years? The Yankees, based off of the reports and honestly based off of common knowledge, like Hal Steinbrenner said, they're not having $300 million payrolls every year. If they sign Soto, they're going to build the rest of the roster less expensively. If the Mets sign Soto, though, I think the Mets are going to get probably two big money guys, maybe not the pitchers, but two big money guys, like maybe like Adames and Tanner Scott, regardless of whether they get Soto or not.
Yeah, I agree. And this is kind of the, on the topic of the Red Sox, this is that you reap what you sow. Like, this is the price you pay for being cheap. And everyone's going, oh yeah, look, maybe they were smart to do it. They were waiting for Soto. This is the new thing I'm hearing, is they were being tactical. And, you know, maybe there was some bit of tacticalness to it, but there were seasons the last like 2 years where we pointed out opportunities where they could have made the playoffs and they could have contended. And that sounds like a small thing, but it's not, especially when you're in a situation like this. And now you have to hope and pray that Juan Soto believes what you're saying. You don't even know if he's going to take their word for it. And then you have Steve Cohen, who, and we were talking about this earlier today, I think he's a little bit overhyped in terms of how much he spends, or at least his ability to get big free agents. But you know the guy's going to spend. He's been very open about it, and he's at least tried to do it, whether he's failed or not. And if you get Juan Soto, it's a hell of a lot easier to attract free agents. And then the Yankees, like, I hear what you're saying, Gordo, that they'd have to cut payroll a little bit, but they're still the friggin' Yankees. They're going to find a way, and they're going to continue to spend like they always have. There's never been a break from that. That has been the one constant with the Yankees. So
that's not what
I don't
saying.
Know, man.
I'm saying this offseason, future offseasons, like they'll get like DJ LeMahieu coming off the books, eventually Stan's coming off. Like, they'll spend. They always do. But the years to come, like the next year or two, it would be interesting to see how they build it around them to try to be better than they were this year. Because it was a flawed team. They made it to the World Series, but they were flawed.
Right. And to put a bow on it, it's so crazy how many factors that are like at play right now. Like, does Juan Soto believe the Red Sox? Does he want to be in Boston? Is anyone being used here for leverage? Are there any, like, the Blue Jays? Get the fuck out of here, Blue Jays. You have no shot, but they're still in it technically. So many things going around. Nobody has a clue what's going on. And I'm kind of tired of the rumors, to be totally honest. Sick of people making shit up. I just kind of want to see where he goes at this point. But
yeah,
God damn, it's interesting.
There. Yeah, it's captivating. Before we get to Nuff Said, I'm going to ask a question. And Sammy, you asked it on Twitter. And so you know my answer because I responded to it. And I think I know both of your guys' answers. But if John Henry pulls this off and pays Juan Soto, you forgive him, right? For everything?
Oh, dude, I would make out with him.
Oh, yeah.
I would kiss him right on the mouth with tongue, happily.
Dude, I would like nuzzle in his neck and like kiss his neck and like smooch him on the cheek. Like, I'd be all smitten with John.
Want to just keep one-upping each other and see how weird it gets?
Let's just say that John Henry could do whatever he wants with me.
All right.
Gordo the Gimp. And they're calling him Gimpy Gordo.
It's like the episode of SpongeBob when he has the leather boots, but it's just Gordo walking into John Henry's office in his gimp suit.
Well, I put out that tweet. What did I say like a few weeks ago? I was like, would you kiss John Henry if it meant signing Juan Soto? And all the responses were like, I'd fuck the guy. Just crazy stuff. Like, I'm like, dude, I just wanted to know if you would give him a kiss. It was like a lighthearted joke. People were saying gross shit. Check that tweet out if you want to laugh. But, oh, man. Yeah, I'd forgive him. How could you not? It's Juan Soto.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, John Henry, you have us. You have us if you want us, man. Just sign the guy. Enough said. Does anyone have enough said? I have enough said, but I'll give you that. Pat, you want to go first? You got it.
I'll go first, and I'm hoping you guys haven't seen this. I hope I'm the one to break this news to you guys. You might have seen it. Did you guys see any email exchanges with the Rockies owner today?
Yeah, I did. Tell the story.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this guy emails Dick Monfort, the literal owner of the Colorado Rockies. Can you imagine emailing John Henry and getting a response? This guy emailed the Rockies owner. Good afternoon, Mr. Monfort. I'm seeing a ton of rumors fly about Juan Soto on social media. He's expected to get 14 to 15 years with $43 million AAV. That's crazy money, but if you could offer it, I think he'd be a phenomenal fit for the purple pinstripes that would catapult us into the playoff contention almost immediately. Happy holidays. Hope all is well. Oh, sorry. Is there any chance we could land Juan Soto? Dick Monfort replies to that. Out of all of that, he said publicly he wants to stay on East Coast, sent from my iPhone. Ah, rats. The Rockies would have been all over that if he didn't have an East Coast preference.
Yeah, that was it. That's the one thing keeping him. By the way, do you see the time difference? 8 minutes?
Yeah.
He's just, the Rockies owner's doing fucking nothing. He's just sitting around being like, oh, I got an email. No.
Okay, it's just funny because it's not like there isn't still a West Coast team in the mix publicly, too. Like, if you're even keeping track a little bit to the rumors, you know that the Dodgers are still technically in this.
Monfort is like enamored with Ryan McMahon. That's like his guy. Like, he loves him, even though he's like a, you know, solid player.
Well, Sammy, they've passed on trading him each of the last like 4 years when it made plenty sense to trade him every single one of those years.
I genuinely think the three of us together could do a better job at managing the Rockies than the Rockies do currently.
If we weren't hamstrung by that owner, I would agree. If we had like a just
even
an
if we,
average
even
owner.
If we were, even if we were, we would have the wherewithal to be like, hey guys, we have no money. We should probably trade this expiring asset to recoup prospects. And they're like, no.
I think the owner probably is the reason that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, you're probably right.
But just give me an average owner. I agree. It's not even the three of us. It's like any singular one of us with just like a normal human being for an owner would run that team better.
I do have enough said. Gordo, you want to go first?
No, you got it.
Okay. So do you guys ever think that if Pinocchio just lied from the start and said, my nose grows when I tell the truth, do you think he would have gotten away with everything? Because wow. His nose would have grown because he would be telling a lie. And then every time he'd tell a lie, the people would think he's telling the truth.
Well, but what about the times that he's telling the truth? So no. Well, actually, no, yeah, people would have figured it out because anytime he told the truth, nothing would have happened. So if they asked, like, where's the salt? And he points over there towards the salt and they can see the salt there and his nose doesn't grow.
Well, what if he goes like, oh, I thought I saw it under the table earlier. Check the cupboard. It might be there. His nose would grow because he didn't see it under the table earlier. And then they'd find it in the cupboard. And they'd be like, oh, Pinocchio, you're the best.
But it would eventually, but like you just gave a very specific scenario, but eventually it's going to bite him. Like this thing couldn't last a day.
He's clever. I think he could work around it.
He's clever.
What if Pinocchio found a lovely woman and got married and he said, I love you, and his nose did not grow? That is a heartbreaking tale.
Well, he would have to tell her. If he were in love with this girl, he would be like, hey, I've been lying. My nose doesn't grow when I tell the truth. See?
Right. It wouldn't grow. Sammy, but that's a big lie. Like, you couldn't tell that to her from the jump. You have to wait till you know you're like really into her to tell her that. And then if you tell her that, she's going to be like, holy shit, this entire relationship's been based on lies.
And then he could be like, no, no, no. I'm just kidding. I can turn it on and off when I want. And then his nose would grow. And she'd be like, oh, look at that. And he would have just told a lie and his nose would have grown. So she would have been like, I don't know what to believe. I think he could pull it off.
I don't think he could. I think the shtick would be up very fast.
You've no respect for Pinocchio's intelligence.
Listen, man, maybe I don't remember enough. Why the nose grows, but then it re-shrinks, right? Because like otherwise it would be like 8 miles long.
I don't know. Maybe he just gets like a little bit of growth every time he lies.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit of growth.
A little chub.
A little, yeah. All right. I'll give you my nuff said. All right. My nuff said. So Pat tweeted he tweeted eyeball emojis the other day. And when Teoscar Hernandez was reportedly nearing a deal with the Dodgers, Pat said, this was about Teoscar. And the reason Pat tweeted those eyeballs is because the other day, I think it was like Tuesday, I got a notification on my phone that who else but Teoscar Hernandez hit me with that follow on Twitter. And I remember last year when negotiations with the Red Sox were happening and it looked like they might get Teoscar, he started following a bunch of Red Sox accounts and liking a bunch of Photoshops of him in Red Sox stuff. And it got me thinking, Teoscar following me on Twitter this week, I wonder if there's something there. And it was disheartening a little bit to see that like a couple of days later, him nearing a deal with the Dodgers. And it's still, even though Ken Rosenthal kind of poured some cold water on that deal happening, it kind of still feels like that's still going to go down. But like, then why is he following your boy on Twitter? I don't know. Just, you made it to the end of this episode and Teoscar ends up signing with the Red Sox. Just remember, he followed Gordo before Juan Soto signed somewhere else. Okay?
Are you the Teoscar connect?
I mean, if he signs with the Red Sox, we got to get him on this show. It feels like he's not gonna, but like it still doesn't add up. Like if it's been Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers the whole way, why is he barking up the tree of some Red Sox account?
I'd have to ask Glenn Neal. I don't know.
Nah, it's true. You're right. Dang. Yeah, well, we're going to have to.
You ask Glenn Neal. I'll ask Marino. We reconvene on Sunday night.
You guys see McAdam dunk on Marino today?
Yo, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
McAdam. Call him Thick Adam. All right. That's wow. Can we delete that? Okay.
That was funny as hell, though. That made my day. Hello, Joe.
Sorry, Joe. Joe's disappointed.
Joe's disappointed. Joe's at the WEI studios right now, just shaking his head at us. Shaking his head at you, Sammy.
Sick. Sick.
He didn't even shake his head when I said John Henry could have me, and he shook his head at that.
You're going to, yeah. Jeez.
No, he's shaking his head. Okay. He's shaking his head. All right.
It's been at least 20 times I've shook my head back here.
He just hasn't shown us. All right.
Oh, we're a mess.
Yeah, we're a disaster right now. I think that's a good time to end this episode. But before you go out about your day, remember, just subscribe wherever you're listening, wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. We've got the Play Tessie playlist there. You can hit the like on the videos and subscribe to WEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing in the back, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie. Maybe the last time you'll hear from us before Juan Soto signs. We'll see. And if he does sign, you'll get an emergency podcast from us. But till then, or till next time, whichever one comes first, thanks for tuning in to Play Tessie this time. Peace.